Now, the rest of the story. Eugene Wesley was a small boy, outbound on a big adventure. He could feel the ship rocking beneath him. He could smell the salty air and taste the windswept spray. He could see the gulls soaring majestically overhead, and there were the sounds, more than just the wash of the waves on the hull, strange noises. Perhaps the voices of surfacing sea monsters that had risen to inspect his vessel. But little Eugene had not gone to sea, nor had he even left home. For the oceanic expanse he sailed was his own backyard, and his mighty ship was a mere cardboard box. And yet for hours Eugene would sit in that box, charting exciting courses in his mind, so consumed by his own imagination that his parents began to worry. Pretending was one thing, they reasoned, but this was something different, more dangerous perhaps. And Eugene's mother Caroline began to blame herself. You see, Eugene was not yet school age when it was discovered that he was seriously ill with asthma. And to make the long bedridden months pass more easily for the child, his mother had read stories to him aloud, and when mother could no longer satisfy Eugene's insatiable appetite for stories, she taught him how to read. And so it was that at a remarkably early age, little Eugene submerged himself in literature, mainly adventure, the cowboy sagas of Zane Grey, Jonathan Swift's tale of a giant among the Lilliputians. And Mother Carolyn was the first to sense trouble. She told her husband that Eugene was not only preoccupied with his beloved books, he was becoming obsessed with the stories themselves to such an extent that he seemed utterly lost among the characters of which he read. So lost, Mother said, that maybe someday Eugene would not return from the world which his imagination had created. Dad suggested it might help to have a talk with the boy. He tried, it didn't. And then to make matters worse, an outside influence, a man Eugene's parents had never met, a man whom they didn't even know existed, a real live person who lived over a neighbor's garage, that man began to visit with Eugene. After his long illness had passed, that man who described himself as an ex-con who had spent some time in jail said he was now trying to be good, and indeed it seemed that he was trying to be good, and he did become a friend to Eugene. The only aspect of their friendship of which the boy's parents would certainly not have approved was the storytelling. This man, whose name has long since been forgot, this man filled Eugene's head with even more tales of adventure, even more incredible than those of which he had read. Adventures now in science fiction. Yet despite the depths of his imagination, Eugene somehow always managed to return to the real world. And one day he returned to us with a legend that has captivated television viewers for more than a quarter century. You may never meet Eugene Wesley Roddenberry, Gene Roddenberry, but now I hope that you will always envision a boy in a box, engulfed in the fantasy of an ocean voyage that never was, and yet who one day commanded the voyages of the Starship Enterprise to go boldly where no mind had ever gone before, and to create the unforgettable characters and the intriguing stories. For Gene was the author of the modern mythology which you know as Star Trek. And now you know the rest of the story.